Our scripture reading today will come from two places. The first place from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, the verses 1 through 8. And then I will be reading as well from 2 Peter 3, the verses 8 through 10. You can find the scripture reading on the insert in your bulletins. On one side of the insert is the sermon outline, and on the opposite side, the scripture reading from the Gospel of Luke 18. And 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 10. I also have put on there a question and answer from the Shorter Catechism. I'll be reading that later in the sermon, but not at this time during the scripture reading. So let's start with Luke 18, the verses 1 through 8. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And then from 2 Peter chapter 3, the verses 8 through 10. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Thus the reading of God's word today from Luke 18 and 2 Peter 3. Keep in mind the outline there in your bulletins as you listen to God's word proclaimed. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, I recently read an article by a Christian author who wrote about what he sees as the decline of Christianity. The article stated that statistics now show that in many countries around the world, and in our own country, the United States, Christians are dying faster than they're being replaced. There are many Christians that are being put to death by way of physical persecution, and there are many that are dying by way of old age or illness. And there is not a younger generation of Christians that's being brought up to replace them. The article noted that statistics show that 2 out of 3 young people today that have been brought up as Christians in churches are abandoning their faith between the ages of 18 and 29. And so the article points out that we now live in a country where, although there are many Christians, the cultural center has moved away from Christianity and biblical values. The signs of that moving away are shown in the cultural acceptance of laws and things that have been passed legislatively that go against the Bible and the clear teaching of God's word. Whether it be a death with dignity law, a same-sex marriage law, or the transgender movement. And when Christians object to these laws, the government has been used to persecute them for their objection to it. And it seems only a matter of time before what has happened to the baker in Colorado, flower shop owner in Eastern Washington, or the caterer in Oregon, only a matter of time, it seems, when that will soon happen to other Christians, Christians we know, or to even a church we attend. I talk with so many Christians that are discouraged and don't know what to do. Some have been at work politically and had some minor success, but the cultural shift, it seems, continues to get worse. Others have spent many hours in prayer over such things, but it doesn't seem to change or get better. Some have said to me they're resigned to the fact that the culture around us is only going to get worse and further away from God and God's word. They seem to get so discouraged, they don't even want to pray anymore, saying, "What's the use?" Is that how you feel sometimes as you look around you? If it is, the parable of the persistent widow is the parable for you. The first thing I want to point out about this parable is what the parable is not saying. Now, there are some people, when they come to this parable, they say, all right, this is a parable about prayer. And as a parable about prayer, we look at this woman who continues to plead with this earthly judge for something, and she continues to plead over and over again until the judge gives her what she wanted. And so the application they make of the parable is that that's how we need to go to God in our prayers. That persistent prayer and asking God over and over for something, eventually God will give us and grant us what we pray for. But that's not what this parable is about, though a common interpretation. If you look at the verses that surround the parable and the context of it, you will see that the parable has a different message altogether. The context of this parable is the coming of the Son of Man, point one on your outlines. The coming of the Son of Man is spoken of in the immediate context of the parable, but also in the broader context of the parable. In verse 1, you see, we're told that Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. You see, the author Luke has been inspired by God to sort of insert this verse into the text itself, reminding us here at this point that he is writing about what he witnessed and saw Jesus say. He tells them this parable, Luke tells us, to the effect that the disciples ought always to pray and not lose heart. Well, what would they lose heart about in their prayer? Luke tells us at the end of verse 8, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth?" The first verse tells us that he is concerned that disciples will stop praying and lose heart. At the end of the text, he tells us what they might lose heart about and give up praying about. That is the day the Son of Man comes, and Jesus' follow-up question, will he find faith upon the earth? The point being is the parable of the persistent widow is being told in the context of the day of the Son of Man. And what started this off, we can see it in the broader context in the verses at the end of chapter 17 that precede the telling of this parable and as Luke recorded it, inspired by God's Spirit. In the broader context, we see that the Pharisees at the end of chapter 17 have asked Jesus a question. When is the kingdom of God going to come? And in their mindset, the kingdom of God is an earthly kingdom. It's a nation of the earth. They have thought, as they read the Old Testament prophecies, that God was going to send another King David to conquer the Romans and reestablish again a visible nation of God here in this earth among all the other nations of the world. But Jesus has told them in verses 20 and 21, the kingdom of God is not coming that way. It's not coming in a way that can be observed, or a way where you will say, look, here it is, or there it is on your map. But the kingdom of God, Jesus said, will first come within, in your heart. You will become a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The kingdom of God will come in the forgiveness of sins by his death and resurrection on the cross. And then he goes on in verse 22 and the verses that follow at the end of chapter 17 to describe what's still to come. And what's still to come is a day of the Son of Man. The days are coming, verse 22, when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look there and look here. Do not go out and follow them. For as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, Luke is telling us, Jesus is telling us, will someday come back. And it's going to happen quickly. Like a flash of lightning across the sky, everybody will see it. It will be clear. You won't have a time where you'll say, look here, look there, there it is. Somebody's seeing it and you've missed it. You will know it. It's going to come. And first the Lord Jesus will go to the cross, pay for the sins of his people, and resurrect and be resurrected from the dead. And then Jesus tells them in verse 27 or 26, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. You see, as Jesus is describing his second coming, he's describing it like a day when the Son of Man, and the Son of Man in this second coming will be like a day like other days in biblical history. Just like the time before God's judgment with the flood, when people were eating and drinking and being given in marriage, living their normal lives with no focus on God, and Noah was delivered. Just like the time before fire fell from heaven during the time of Lot, people were eating and drinking, buying and selling in their stores, planting and harvesting their fields, building projects in the city, living their normal lives apart from God. And God rained down fire from heaven, and Lot was delivered. Jesus tells us, that's what it's going to be on the day of the Lord. You're not going to see the kingdom of God visibly here upon the earth as a nation like all the other nations of the earth. But the kingdom of God will be found in the hearts of people, hearts who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And at the end of the world, when the Son of Man comes from heaven, in the speed of the flash of lightning, God's wrath and judgment will come. So don't be discouraged. But nevertheless, what are we to do in the meantime? As you come to chapter 18, that's the context of what Luke is saying in verse 1. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Noah continued to pray, and he didn't lose heart. Lot continued to pray, and he didn't lose heart. As they looked around them, at the culture around them, as the decline of the culture took place all around them, they kept their focus on the fact that God would someday send his judgment. And when that judgment came, they continued to pray. They didn't lose heart. And when it came, they were ready for the deliverance of the Lord. God has inspired Luke to apply this then to the disciples and to all of God's people that live in the time after Christ's first coming and are awaiting for his second coming. They ought always to pray and not lose heart. And then he tells them a parable. A parable about an unjust judge and a persistent widow. In verse 2, he describes the unjust judge. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. A judge within a city who has no fear of God. That means he makes his decisions based on no fear of God or understanding who God is in terms of God's justice and righteousness. And he doesn't respect man, meaning who the man is or the cause of that man that he's making a judgment about. He has no respect for that man. In other words, you don't know what this judge is going to decide because it's not based on anything that you know. Then there's a persistent widow, verse 3, who is in the same city, and she keeps coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." Now, widows in Jesus' day, and much in our day as well, are considered vulnerable in society. She doesn't have a husband to take care of her. Especially in Jesus' day, women were very much dependent, wives were very much dependent on their husbands, on their sons, to provide, to care for them. She doesn't have a husband. She's left vulnerable and helpless and powerless to protect herself, and she has an adversary, we're told. Someone who wants to take advantage of her, perhaps by way of a lawsuit or something else that this person is trying to take or to steal from her to make her situation worse. She wants justice, and her only hope of justice is in the judge. And so we're told that she keeps coming to him. She keeps saying to him constantly, "Give me justice against my adversary." And then we're told in the next verse, verse 4, "For a while the judge refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.'" The judge admits that he has no standard by which he makes his judgments. He doesn't fear God. He's no biblical or standard of what people knew about God. He doesn't make it based on the fact that he respects men. He doesn't respect the fact that she's a widow and maybe in need. He has no moral basis for giving her justice. He is simply going to give her justice for his own selfish reasons. He has no attachment to her, no emotions, no feelings. She keeps bothering him. He's tired of her bothering him and asking him all the time about it. It's more than he can stand. So he gives her justice. He will give her, verse 4 and 5, what she wants, so she won't come and bother him anymore. Well, in verse 6 then, Jesus interprets the parable for us. How does this apply then to what we've learned in the context of this passage about the Son of Man and praying in terms of the time of the Son of Man and his coming? What does this say? How does this parable help us understand in terms of what Jesus has already said about the times of the days of Noah and the times of the days of Lot and Sodom? How does this help us in our understanding of prayer and what it means in terms of how our prayers are answered by God? Look at verse 6. "And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?'" In other words, Jesus is interpreting the parable along these lines. If an unrighteous judge who has no moral basis, no fear of God, no respect of man, will give justice to a woman and her persistence, how much more will a righteous and holy God, who is just and righteous and holy, respond to the prayers of his elect? You see, not only is God and righteous and just and will respond on the basis of that, he also responds, look again what it says in the verse, to his elect. His elect are those he cares about. He cares so much about them, he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down from heaven to die on the cross and to pay for their sins. They mean that much to him. And so the elect should not be discouraged by what they see taking place in the world around them. Jesus is telling the disciples, do not be discouraged when I'm arrested and put on the cross and die on the cross. The apostles should not be discouraged when after his resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven, and they go throughout the world and they are preaching the gospel and they are persecuted for the sake of Christ. As Jesus tells his disciples not to be discouraged, as he prepares the apostles to not be discouraged, neither should any of you be discouraged when you hear of other Christians being persecuted for Christ, or when you suffer that persecution yourself. Jesus tells us that God hears the prayers of the elect when they cry out to him day and night. Jesus has told us, and we have seen it throughout the scriptures, that our God, the creator of heaven and earth, is holy and just and righteous. And he will bring about his justice and righteousness someday in this world. And it is those who, as children of God, his elect, have a relationship to him and mean something to him, someday on the day of the Son of Man, they will see the justice of God and things will be made right. If an unjust judge will eventually give in to the widow, though he has no basis by which he makes it in terms of God or fear of men, how much more will a holy and righteous, just God, who cares about his elect so much he sent his son to die on the cross to pay for their sins and to save them from his wrath, how much more will he answer their prayers someday by sending back his son down to earth to bring about that great day of justice and salvation for his people? But you say to yourself, well, it's already been 2,000 years. We've been waiting for this. What does he say here at the end of this verse? Verse 7, will he delay long over them? It seems like he's been delaying a long time, hasn't it? For 2,000 years we've been waiting for this since Christ first came. Why doesn't he just send his kingdom now and bring about this world's end and bring about justice against all the injustice that's taking place against his church and his people in this world? But that's where we go to the text in Peter, 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. I put it there on the back of your outline so that you could have it in front of you, could see it together. What does Jesus say, or what does Peter say, as he is inspired by God in this verse, 2 Peter 3:8? But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. So 2,000 years is a long time to wait. But Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3, verse 8, that to the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. That means to the Lord, it's only been 2 days. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you and wishing that than wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. You see, God is patient. He wants all to come to repentance, and all of them have not yet come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God has determined that, yes, he will satisfy his wrath and justice against all those who have rejected him and persecuted his church, but he has also determined that he will satisfy his grace, that all those who are his elect will be brought into the kingdom and eternal glory. And those numbers have not yet been completed. And yet, when you come to verse 8, he speaks about quickly, speedily. I tell you, verse 8, he will give justice to them speedily. What does he mean? First, he said that it will not be without delay. There's going to be a long delay. No, there's not going to be a long delay. It's going to happen speedily. Well, what did he say in chapter 17? Like lightning that flashes in the sky, it will come suddenly. Like fire that fell from the sky at Sodom, it will come suddenly. Again, back to 1 Peter 3, this time verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. It will come like a thief. It will come unexpectedly. It will come speedily, just as Jesus has said. It will come like in the days of Noah, unexpectedly and quickly upon those who were not prepared. And so how does he conclude at the end of verse 8? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Do you see what Jesus' question is? His concluding question is about that day. That day when the Son of Man returns, and he's asking on that day, will he find faith upon the earth? What kind of faith is he saying? Is he thinking that he would find or describing here in this verse? Will it be like in the days of Noah, where it was only Noah and his family that went into the ark? Will it be like in the days of Lot, when it was only Lot and his family that escaped the judgment of God by following the angel? How much faith will he find upon the earth in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot? It wasn't very much. And so Luke's point is for you in verse 1 to always pray and not lose heart. Because the day of the Son of Man is coming, when he will make all things right. And in your prayers, verse 8, you need to pray in faith that the Son of Man will come quickly, as Jesus taught us to pray this way in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. And that's why I put the Catechism summary question and answer for you, question and answer 102 about the Lord's Prayer, on your outlines today. Question and answer 102. What do we pray for in the second petition? In the second petition, which is, Thy kingdom come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. See that last phrase, especially? In our prayers, we pray that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. So much of our prayers are filled with our earthly concerns, what we want God to do for us. We look for and pray for his help with our finances or our family issues or health issues that we may face. And all of that is an important part of prayer. But Jesus is teaching us here that we must also pray that the day of the Son of Man will come quickly. and that as we live our daily life with the day of the Son of Man, part of our focus and in our mind, so that when you know or experience injustice against Christians in this world, so that when you know or experience persecution against Christians in this world, when you see and hear all of these things happening, don't lose heart. Don't stop praying. But see them all in the context of the day of the Son of Man. The parable of the persistent widow teaches us that if you look around you at the cultural decline and hear of the persecution of Christians, that it's increasing worldwide and in your own country, don't lose heart. Don't start to think that God doesn't care, that Satan is winning this battle. But it should motivate you even more to pray for his coming, to know that his coming is going to happen soon and speedily and unexpected. And what kind of faith will the Son of Man look for? Faith like Noah, who was not surprised when the rain started, but he put his faith in God's salvation plan and went into the ark. Faith like Lot, who was not surprised when the fire came down from heaven, but he put his faith in God's salvation plan and the angel let him out. And faith like a believer in Jesus Christ, who because of his prayer and his focus, he is not surprised on the day of the Son of Man because they've been praying for it their whole lives in their prayers. And they have put their faith in God's salvation plan that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came down to earth. He died on the cross to pay for their sins, and they are saved from his wrath and justice, because Christ bore it on the cross for them. And Jesus tells us the parable of the persistent widow so that believers would not lose heart. Don't quit praying for that day and for the justice of God. We are to pray for the Son of Man to come when God's justice will be fulfilled, and we're to live our lives in light of the fact that Jesus could come anytime soon. To live by faith, to know by faith, he could come any day, to know that he could come today. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have brought us here today to worship and to listen to your word. And we're thankful for this passage of Scripture, which reminds us that we must not stop praying and lose heart. For as the widow received justice from the unjust judge, how much more do we know that you, our true and righteous and holy God, will someday bring about your justice and wrath and righteousness in this world on the day that your Son returns. We're thankful that he does so on the basis of his elect, who he cares about, whom he has saved through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that that wonderful grace would shine forth each day in our lives, that as we look around us and we see the world and the culture changing around us, we would not be discouraged and think that the enemy is winning. But we would know, Lord, that in your sovereign plan, you will answer with the coming of your Son in the day exactly that you have ordained and planned. Help us as your people to live this by faith, that we would pray for our Savior's coming, that, Lord, we would pray and make it a focus of our lives and hearts, that on the day he would return, we would not be surprised because we've prayed for it, we've expected it, we've believed by faith that it's been taught in your word. And that, Lord, we would identify with the wonderful salvation that has come in our Savior, who accomplished that salvation for us on the cross. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.